Well, we're pressing on through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Let's remind ourselves of the context. Paul's been talking about the battle that we're in. Every believer is in a battle, but we're not left defenseless. Indeed, we're given that which will give us victory. Chapter 6, verse 10 of Ephesians, we're going to jump in. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We just study through the Bible around here. We don't cherry pick certain portions, but we just work our way through it. We're working our way through this letter, a letter of blessing and encouragement, speaking of the new creation, the new life that all believers come into and all. But when we entered that, we entered a battle. So just in context, Paul says, we're in a battle, but we're not defenseless. So the last number of weeks, we've gone over each piece of, and so now we've covered in our times together all six pieces of the armor of God together. But you notice this, Paul does not end the discussion there. See, you might read that and say, okay, got my armor, good to go, thanks God, here I go, boom, out into the battle. Well, Paul would say, hold on, there's a key element here that goes with all of this. It's not a piece of the armor, but it's very, very important. If we're going to be successful warriors, now verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Since the battle that all believers are in is a spiritual battle, it's in the spiritual realm, Paul is going to point us now to a key part of our victory, a key part of how we're going to be able to use the armor God has given us. Prayer. Prayer is what he's going to point to here. Now this morning, I want to encourage you. I am not here to hammer you with, yes, you need to spend 45.3 minutes a day in prayer. And you need to follow this particular routine and this particular posture. That's not what this is about. I don't want you to hear this as condemnation. I pray we'll hear it as God intends it, an invitation. An invitation to victory. An invitation to empowerment, to enablement. An invitation to wear this armor in victory. Prayer is a key part of it. Oh, the importance of prayer in the spiritual battle we're all in. I've called our time together this morning based on the opening words of that verse, praying always. To that end, let's bow. Heavenly Father, that which we're doing even right now, how we thank you for it. Thank you that we don't have to go through some big routine, to have to earn your attention, earn your ear, earn your love. But you've set this whole thing in place, that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we can come boldly to you. That we can know that you're a God who hears prayer. You're a God who answers prayer. You're a God who empowers and encourages and touches and ministers. And prayer is such a part of that, that we can cast all our cares on you. Thank you. You are an awesome God. And that we can hear from you. That this is a two-way communication, how we thank you for it. So Lord, lead us in this time. Let it be an encouraging ministering, and it's challenging if need be. But Lord, help us to just really understand this awesome privilege of prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to work our way through this one verse because there's much here for every believer. Let's consider closely the words of Paul here. Verse 18, he begins by pointing to the fact that that's going to be such an important part of everything. Praying, he says, praying. Paul here points out the importance of prayer. As soldiers in a battle, we must be in continual communication with our commander. We don't just rush off and fight any old battle in any old way in our own power. That's doomed to failure. But we don't have to do that. We can go forward in communication with the commander in chief. We must talk to, we get to talk to, and hear from our commander in chief. And that's how we're going to be victorious. We're to put on the armor with prayer. We're to wear the armor with prayer. We cannot use all of this properly except to be in fellowship and communion with God. And wonder of wonders, he wants that. He invites us. I look in the mirror, I consider my life, and I consider that God wants to commune with me. He offers that to me. What an awesome thing this is for all of us. What a call. The Bible puts, of course, a great priority on prayer. For the Word of God was never given just to be an intellectual exercise. The Bible is not just a collection of nice sayings to be considered. The Word of God is given so we might know the God of the Word. So we might be drawn to commune with Him, to commune with our Creator as He originally designed it to be. Consider prayer in the life of the Lord Himself. Luke 6:12. Now it came to pass in those days that he, this is Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Jesus is God who came in the flesh, the second person of the Trinity, came in person, took on human form, but he continually communed with his Father. Here's just one reminder of that. Later on, as he faced that night before the cross and all, and being in agony, we read, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Battle of prayer, earnest prayer. Just two verses that speak of, and there are many verses, of course, many verses in the Bible that remind us of prayer. Many admonitions, many examples of prayer in the Bible. But I expect you already know that. You know the Bible teaches prayer and encourages prayer. But Paul begins pointing to the importance of a prayer. But prayer, how often? What's he say? Praying always. Jesus taught us in Luke 18, verse 1, then he, Jesus, spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Always pray is encouragement. Don't give up is the idea. Don't lose heart. Don't get discouraged, but keep at it. We ought always to pray in everything we go through. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing. Now I understand, you might read that and go, wait a minute, how could I pray without ceasing? I mean, my boss won't appreciate it if I sit there at the job praying all day instead of doing what he's hired me to do. If I drive praying, I might crash into something. If I am I praying, walk down the street, I'm gonna walk into a pole. The attitude here is what's being addressed. We're to have an attitude of prayer is the idea. We are to, as we go throughout our day, keep the hotline open is the idea. That's the idea in all of this. He's our commander. We keep the phone off the hook, so to speak. Ready to run to him, go to him, seek him when a situation comes, whatever it is. We're to keep a heart attitude of prayer all day long. See, the challenge to us, all of us, but an important question is this, and to let the Holy Spirit speak to us about it, it is, what place does prayer really hold in our lives? Let's face it, that which is really a priority in our lives tend to find time to. If it's something really important, we tend to find time to do that thing. Does prayer find time in our schedules? That speaks of if we really believe it and understand who we're talking to and the privilege of it and all. But when he says praying always, what he's really kind of saying is prayer is to be the believer's lifestyle, an integral part of our lives as we cast our cares on him, seek him, all that prayer is for us. So he says praying always, but he turns right around and says all now, he says praying always with all prayer. Okay, I'm supposed to be praying always, looking to him, keeping an attitude of prayer. And with all prayer, what does that mean? It means all types of prayer. Our prayer life should include all types of prayer. Don't get into some kind of a legalistic thing of a prayer can only be this way, this style, and this posture with these words. Prayer means, all prayer means just that, all prayer. It means all types of prayer. There's worship prayer. There's adoration prayer. There's thanksgiving prayer. There's praise prayer. There's all kinds of prayer that should be going up from us. But there's all types of prayer. I mean, all forms also, I mean. Pray with every kind of prayer you can think of. Group prayer, corporate prayer together, individual prayer, prayer, quiet prayer, silent prayer, long prayers, short prayers, arrow prayers. You know what an arrow prayer is, right? An arrow prayer goes like this. Help! That's an arrow prayer. It means we shoot it up right then. Yes, that counts. Now, don't live on just arrow prayers. If you just live on arrow prayers, you're going to find your prayer life's kind of weak. But that's part of it. That's what he's saying. Just pray. Don't worry about posture, kneeling, standing, certain forms. Just pray is the call. So I'm not here to say, well, you've got to follow this acronym and follow this way. There's a place for all that, and if it helps you pray more effectively, great. But just do it. Get to talk to God. Get to give it to God. Get to experience the leading of God. So Paul says, praying always with all prayer. But then he adds an interesting thing to that, and supplication. So pray in all ways, all forms, and also supplication. Supplication is a word that means more, it's just getting more specific. It's what we might call petitions. It means to pray with regard to a special request or a desire. There is nothing too big and nothing too small for God. And we're to bring our request, our petitions to him. Well, I would never pray about that. It's too small. It's not too small. God cares about everything. Come with all of our supplications, our petitions. He wants to know about it. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. What's the cure for anxiety? But in everything, by prayer, and here it is again, and supplication. Paul's highlighting these specific, using specific requests. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It's good. He invites us to do so. And it's part of our equipping and empowerment and victory. James 4:2 here. James points out here, he says, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight in war, you don't have because you don't ask. See, right away, too often it's, what can I do? What would my strategy? What does my wisdom tell me I should do? What direction should I take? What answers? What solutions? Everything. And he's saying, no wonder you're struggling. You're not coming to me yet. You don't have because you don't ask. So we're called to seek God's provision. We're called to seek God's protection. Ask. But even in that, James quickly adds, there is a right way and a wrong way to go about this. For the very next verse, James 4:3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. So come to me, he says, but be careful of motives. Be careful what's really driving that prayer. A prayer that's self-centered, a prayer that's out to just get, it's about you and what you think and all, and it's fleshly in its desires. See, God loves you too much so often. He loves us too much to sometimes answer our prayers. In love, he says, you don't understand what that would really bring. You don't understand where that's really going. I love you too much to give you that one. And oftentimes he begins to address that motive, the heart behind it. So pray, but make sure we're being led. And that's what leads us to this next point that Paul brings up. Look at our text. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. How to make sure it's right on? How to make sure I'm tracking in God's will while I'm praying? He says, in the Spirit. Now we come to a very crucial part, the real essence of prayer. For prayer to be effective, it must be of the Spirit, in the Spirit, he's saying. And what does that mean when he says here that we need to pray in the Spirit? This means a prayer that is being led by the third person of the Trinity, the one who takes up residence in us. He's dwelling inside you, believer, every one of us. Let the Spirit guide us in this, lead us into prayer. That's the idea here. Jude 1:20, Jude writes the same thing basically, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. It's an admonition and encouragement that the Holy Spirit actively directs the prayer. Let the Holy Spirit empower us in prayer. Direct our prayer. We are not called to just repeat a bunch of vain repetitions, but rather we're to pray from our heart as the Holy Spirit prompts us. There's a hunger, a need, a desire, a concern. Holy Spirit prompting us now to pray. That's the prayer. A prayer from our heart is the one that reaches God's heart. It's possible sometimes to think, well, my pastor, my Bible study leader, this person I know, he, she, they pray so effectively. They pray so well. The pastor, he seems to pray such flowery prayers. And we all know God only hears flowery prayers. Thank God that's not true. God doesn't grade and say, okay, use the right word there. Oh, no, that word, that doesn't work. No. What God doesn't worry about that, the wording and all that. He's looking at our heart. And the Spirit prompts my heart to pray and has lit this petition. And that a prayer from our heart is the one that reaches God's heart. Don't worry about all the structure and how to, all the things that sometimes people do, and you got to do it this way. Our heart to His heart. Praying in the Spirit is opposite of cold, heartless, formal prayers. Spirit-led prayers are empowered prayers, prayers He's prompting. Basically, it means to pray in the Spirit means to pray under the influence of the Holy Spirit leading, guiding this particular prayer. But not just that, as the Holy Spirit shows me maybe what to pray for and prompts me to pray and how to pray about something. Sometimes I just don't know how to pray. I don't really know, Lord, I'm not sure what would be best. I don't know the right way for this situation or for that person. Paul goes on to explain in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit helps us in our praying. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Oftentimes we don't, do we? Lord, I don't know where to go with this. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He, capital H, who searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit does know, and He does intercede, and He does lead. And it talks about He even leads us sometimes, He prays for us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes you just sit there and say, Lord, I don't even know how to put this in words. And you're just kind of pleading from your heart. He hears it. There might just be groanings that are inarticulate to you, but you're just crying out to God. The point is the Holy Spirit is a partner in this. He's empowering it, leading it. Our part, join in. Let Him. Pray in the Spirit is the calling here. Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered, Him being a real partner in all of it. Our prayer lives, like every other part of our lives, should be brought under the control of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we miss out when we don't live in sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. That's true for across the board, true for prayer, of course. Well, this whole groaning and prayer and everything, does that mean like praying in tongues? Praying in a prayer language, is that all it's referring to? No, that's not all it's referring to, but that includes what it's referring to. There's all sorts of prayer, and the Bible teaches there is that prayer language. There are speaking in tongues is a gift. This isn't going to be a teaching on that right now. Just affirming that that is a scriptural gifting where God causes us to pray in a language we don't understand, but God's gifted us with that and to pray in it. Let me even show you something here to help explain. 1 Corinthians 14:14-15. That whole chapter goes into the gifts and all. Can't do that right now all, but just to remind us, Paul says, if I pray in a tongue, he's just speaking about praying in an unknown tongue to himself, but that God is prompting through the Spirit. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit's praying, but my understanding isn't fruitful. I don't even know what I'm praying. What's the conclusion then? What do I do? Ah, I know what I'll do. I will pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray with understanding. I'll pray both. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. It's a God-given gift, and yes, this is referring, this is not limited to that, but this is part of it. And notice this. Paul, who wrote the Ephesian letter, says, make sure you're praying in the Spirit. For him, he definitely included it because he's using the phrase praying in tongue with praying with the Spirit. To him, it's the same statement. So definitely seek all God has for us. Never settle for less. And understand the Holy Spirit is a partner working in all of this, in our prayers, through our prayers, prompting the prayers. See, it's so important. Look at verse 10 again. Let's remind ourselves. Paul introduced the section by reminding us we're in a battle and saying, finally, after expressing God's love and blessings and this calling to be new creations and everything else, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of your own might. Now, you gonna let me get away with that? I got a few heads shaking. No. No. It's his might. How to receive his might? Through the Holy Spirit and prayer. As I look to him, yield to him, obey him, all those things, it opens me up to this empowerment. If we're going to be strong in the battle, see, just knowing the armor isn't the power. This isn't just an intellectual battle, so to speak. It's not just about head knowledge. A person can intellectually know what the armor is and yet not have it on, or at least not use it properly. We must be constantly led of the Holy Spirit in this battle. It's the empowerment of the Spirit that enables us to put the armor on effectively and use it effectively. Remember back in chapter 5, verse 18. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we saw it meant to be continually filled with, receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. That's crucial to all this. The empowerment of, the leading of the Holy Spirit and prayer. Now consider Paul's next point. It's the attitude to have while doing all this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Then he says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Be watchful. That means be alert. Be on guard. Be attentive. Don't be asleep. Be watchful, like a guard guarding something. Be watchful. Be on guard. We never are on furlough in this battle. We don't get time off in the battle. We must be careful, as he calls us to here. Be watchful. To this end, with all perseverance. Perseverance means keep at it. Don't give up. Kathy and I have times, we have watched God, sometimes we prayed for something for years, and then it happened. Then God answered and something unfolded or whatever. And you just go, wow. For our part, keep praying. God's timetable is different than ours. Just keep at it. Be vigilant. Persevere. Don't give up. You know, Pastor Chuck Smith said this. If you were suddenly accosted by an assailant and you were in a life and death struggle with him, when suddenly he pulled a knife, immediately all of the attention of the struggle would be centered on the knife. For you realize that the knife can be the deciding factor in this battle. So it is with Satan. Knowing that prayer is the deciding factor in this war, he seeks by all within his power to disarm you. End quote. You're fighting the guy, and obviously he pulls out a knife. All your attention goes right there. How do I keep that knife from getting to me? Satan knows our deciding factor in this battle. A big part of it is prayer. And so he seeks to disarm us. You don't need to pray. It's no big deal. It's okay. Don't let the enemy disarm you. Don't let him convince you there's no need for prayer, no big deal, etc. But understand the importance of it and don't fall prey to that attack. Don't let him disarm us. But now we come to a very interesting point in Paul's instructions. For notice here, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. He brings up again specific prayer, expressing our petitions and all, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Interesting. Yes, pray for yourself. Pray for your situations. Pray for wisdom. All that we're invited to do. But notice, it doesn't stop there. For now he says, and supplication for all the saints. The word saints means all the other believers, all your brothers and sisters in the Lord. That a part of prayer here is what we call intercessory prayer. A key part of the victory is not just our prayer for ourselves, but our prayer for one another. Intercessory prayer, praying for others. Pastor, what does that have? What does praying for others have to do with our armor and standing in victory? How's that going to help me stand strong? What's that got to do with it? Remember the analogy here. Paul has just been using a Roman soldier's armor. Now think about this. Generally speaking, when a soldier goes out to fight, does he go out to fight by himself? If an entire country is attacking another country, will those countries go, well, let's just send one guy, we're good? No. Soldiers, in the example, the point being is they go out together. And we are together, thank God, in this battle. And we're to understand that. So now we start to see the importance of praying not just for ourselves. When a soldier fights, it's not a private war. And in the end, our battle isn't a private war. Our brother's isn't just a private war. What he's going through isn't just private. Oh, we have the privilege of praying with him or her, joining in with him or her, seeking God, encouraging, praying for him or her. It's a family thing, a team thing. We're in the same army. A soldier understands that he's part of and indeed needs the other parts of the army. And that's true in the spiritual realm also. One of the great tools of the enemy is to try to make us think that we're in the battle all alone. That no one else has gone through what we're facing. That no one cares about our circumstances. That no one could possibly understand what I'm going through. That's an attack of the enemy. Don't ever fall for that, or you'll be in danger of being defeated. What comfort and strength there can be when we remember we are not in it alone. That what we're going through, others have faced and are currently facing. And their victory encourages us, and ours is an encouragement to them. We learn from each other, we encourage each other, we lift each other up. Secondly, by praying for others in the body, it reminds us that we're part of a greater battle than what we're currently maybe going through. God never makes light of our circumstances. He cares greatly. He wants us to pray about that. But remember, in the point here is, keep the context. There is a fight because there's a greater battle going on. The reason Satan's out to get you is because who you belong to. And while he can't steal your salvation, believer, he wants to steal your peace, your joy, and he wants to steal, nullify your testimony, your witness, your impact on others, your encouragement to others. See, he wants to block all that. He wants to nullify it. He wants to stop it. So remember, in all of this, there's an even bigger battle. And what we're going through is part of the bigger battle. But we're all in it together as believers. There's a place of encouragement and victory, which leads us to another aspect of all this. We are members of one another in the body of Christ. So again, think of a battle. Picture all the troops out there fighting. Picture a line of battle. Maybe you think back more to the olden days, the Civil War or something, where they line up more typically. But you understand, there's the front line of the battle, and there's all these troops out there in a line or whatever. So you look at them in their line of battle. How crucial is it that each part holds its position? It's crucial to the well-being of all the soldiers. For a while in my life, I was kind of a real Civil War buff. Not so much recently, but for a long time, I was really kind of into it. And perhaps you've studied that, but a particular battle in the Civil War, the Battle of Gettysburg, and the second day, it tells the story of how there was an attack going on, and all the Union Army had a big, long, took up a big, strong position on the hill. But at the very end of the left of that was the 20th Maine. And they came to Chamberlain, Colonel Chamberlain, the governor, and said, dude, you got to hold this position. If you let them turn this flank, They will take us from the side and just roll this whole line up, and we're goners. You've got to hold this corner. And the story of it and what he did earned him the Medal of Honor that day. They fought, and they held that corner. But how crucial is we all hold that part of our battle line. That's why we need each other, lifting each other up when we stumble or struggle or praying for each other and all those things that this team effort's to be about. Do it. You ever wonder who to pray for? You ever say, I don't know who to pray about today. I'd like to make a couple of suggestions. If you're not sure to pray about, my first suggestion would be me. I'll take all the prayer you can give me. But just thinking that way, you'll start saying, oh yeah, so-and-so's going through, and there's this health issue, and I heard about. And it's all part of it for each other. Because prayer matters. God is there, and he hears prayer. He's a prayer hearing God, a prayer answering God. And our prayers, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it's for each other as well as ourselves. That's the privilege. That's the calling. So, we pray for the other members because it brings God's resources to bear on their behalf. Secondly, it keeps the proper perspective on our own problems. Thirdly, it's how we're all gonna, it helps us all stand together victorious. Well, Paul isn't just throwing this in at this point in the letter. Paul's not just going, you know, I should mention something about prayer. No, it's a crucial part of the armor and being equipped and being victorious. That's why he leads right into it. It's crucial for our battle. Verse 18, praying always. Got your armor on, you're ready to go? Remember this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The call is to pray. Our need is to pray. The invitation is to pray. Our privilege is to pray. God wants us victorious. See, how do you read this section? Hopefully you see it. You know what? God wants me to win. He wants to be victorious. Whoa. He's giving me armor that I might be victorious. He's given us the Holy Spirit that we might be victorious. He gives us prayer that we might be victorious. Now, let's all go walk in all he has for us, all to his glory. I'm going to invite the worship team up. We're going to respond to the Lord right now. Are you in need of prayer? There'll be prayer partners back by the corner here, my right, your left. They'd love to pray specifically for you. Avail yourself of prayer. If some altar time would be meaningful to you, come up. No one's going to bug you. You want to come up and just spend some time, maybe just kneeling or praying? Go for it. But all of us, let's make sure we go out of here. Continually fill the Holy Spirit in continual communications with our Commander-in-Chief. Father, thank you. As we just declared, so we rest in and give thanks to you for that you are a God who hears, a God who answers, a God who's at work, a God who just, you do empower, you do lead. We thank you for your armor, and we thank you for this privilege of walking in close fellowship with you continually in all we face. Thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.